Thank you for being here in the house of the Lord with us this morning. I'm excited to share with you what I feel the Lord has placed on my heart. I'm going to jump right into it. Turn with me this morning to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to look at verses to start with, verses 10 through 16, and we're kind of going to jump around to a few different passages of Scripture this morning. But while you're turning there, I felt the Lord impress upon me this week to share this with you, and you may not be in a place right now where you are in desperate need of a miracle, but how many of you know that we have all been in a place in our lives that's at one point or another where we find ourselves in need of something beyond what we're capable of doing? The only answer is something from God. We've all been there at one place in time or another, and we'll all be there again. So this morning, I want to share with you three keys from God's Word to receiving that which you need from God. 1 Kings chapter 17, starting in verse number 10. So Elijah arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." So Elijah shows up, and this widow woman is at the gate of the city gathering sticks. And he says, "Hey, would you give me a little something to drink?" I ask my wife for things like that around the house. I said, "Baby, would you give me a little glass of water?" I can just picture Elijah, "Excuse me, do you mind giving me a little something to drink? I'm just a little thirsty." So she's drawing up the water. By the way, have any food you could make for me? And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake. I've got nothing to feed you. But I have a handful of meal in a barrel and a little bit of oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it and make this cake, this bread, for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Morbid. This lady was gathering fuel for the fire to make their last meal. And it consisted of nothing but a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. Doesn't sound very appetizing to begin with, but this was the last little bit of food that they had. And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day of the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Let's pray this morning. Father, we are grateful to be in your house and to spend time together in your word. And God, I just ask that you would open it up to us, open our hearts to receive, open our minds to understand. Father, I pray that you would touch me, because in myself, Father, I am not capable of doing an adequate job. And God, I pray that you would use me this morning to deliver that which you have for your people today. God, we give you thanks for it. We give you thanks for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. This woman in this story had the definition of a hard life. Her husband had died, leaving her alone to raise a son during a time when there was a famine in the land. Food was scarce. And I can only imagine putting myself in her shoes and picturing how scary life must have been. She was alone. She had no one to help protect her. And at a time when resources were scarce, desperate times kind of tend to bring out the desperation in people. And I can only imagine how scary it must have been for her, knowing that at any moment, somebody could break into her house, overpower her, and take what little bit of food she had left. She was alone. I can only imagine how awful it must have been trying to ration that last little bit of food. And every day watching the ribs in her child begin to show more and more and more as he became more and more malnourished. Until finally, she was giving up here. They're going to have one last meal and then had resigned to die after that. And one day, up the driveway walks this bearded stranger who asks her to give him a glass of water and feed to him the last little bit of food that she was saving for her and her child. With nothing more than a promise from this bearded stranger that, you know, if you feed that to me, you'll never run out. I personally don't think I could have bought into that. It's kind of a, you know, Mickey and the Magic Beanstalk kind of thing, you know? I could just see this woman and how puzzled she must have been at this and how skeptical she must have been at this crazy guy. But something inside her responded, because it wasn't just Elijah that was speaking. It was God speaking through Elijah. And something inside her heart responded to the word of God. And instead of using her common sense, what any logical person would do and say, no, I'm going to take the last little bit for me and my son because you have nothing to offer me but your word and I don't know you. Something inside her responded to God's word, even though it was completely illogical, even though it made absolutely no sense. This woman faced an impossible situation and she was almost out of resources and had resigned to giving up. But when the word of the Lord came, she responded with faith. And she gave the last little bit that she had. Without God, that last little bit would have sustained her and her child for one more day. But with God, that last little bit that she had sustained her and her son and Elijah until the famine in the land was over. What miracle do you have need of? What need do you have that only God can meet? And what little bit of resource do you have in your hand? The first thing that came to my mind as I was studying this was time. Between more than full-time jobs for Brooke and I, and the kids, and the business my wife runs, and the things that we do in the community, and everything else going on in life, it seems like there just isn't enough time. And I don't know how many times I've said there aren't enough hours in the day. How am I going to get everything done? There's just not enough hours in the day. And how wonderful it would be, I thought this morning as my alarm clock went off at what was really 5:30, but it was, the clock said 6:30. Cody said, you know, daylight savings time. I agree. But I thought how wonderful it would be to, you know, have a Sunday morning to just sleep in, and we'll shut the phones off and we'll not turn on the computers or anything, and we'll just sleep in and we'll hide away from the world before the craziness of the week starts. But our family has chosen to give our Sunday mornings to God. And though it's a little bit of time, it's that one little window of time that we have, that one little last bit of resource, rather than hoard it to ourselves and let it not be enough in our lives, we've chosen to give it to God. And every week, every single week, God makes it more than enough. And we find that we come to the house of God and we join together with God's people, and that exhaustion from the week kind of fades away a little bit. And we find that we're strengthened, we're renewed, we're energized. We draw strength to tackle the week ahead. That last little bit of resource that we would have on a Sunday morning, we would waste it sitting on the couch drinking coffee, look at the clock about 1:30 and think, gosh, what did we do with our day? But instead, we choose to give that last little bit of time in our week, that last little window to God. And God always makes it more than enough. Our souls are encouraged and fed in ways that they never could be if we decided to just hoard that last little bit to ourselves. When you feel like you don't have enough time in the week to attend church, when church feels like it's just another block on your calendar that you have, something that you have to do, another thing on your to-do list, when you feel like you don't have enough time to do it, that's when you need to be in church the most. When you feel like you don't have enough time in the day to spend a few minutes in prayer and in God's word, that's when you need to spend the time in prayer and in God's word. The same is true of our financial resources. When you feel like you can't afford to give to God, when you feel like you can't afford to be generous to someone else, that's when you need to give to God the most. And watch how he will take what little you have and multiply it and make it go farther than you ever thought possible. There were times in our life where we couldn't afford to give 10% of our income to the house of God. We could not afford to tithe, but we gave what we can according to what the Bible teaches in the New Testament. We chose to give anyways. And though it wasn't always an exact 10%, it was definitely a sacrifice, and we chose to give. And time again, I was shocked, amazed, how the meal in the barrel never ran out and how the oil never went dry. Time and time again, when we chose to give that last little bit of resource that we had, God always made sure that there was more than enough to meet our needs. How did this woman respond when she faced an impossibility? She responded with faith. And she put her faith in action. The book of James tells us that faith without works is useless. Faith without works is dead. To have a miracle of God in your life, to have God meet a need in your life, you have to respond in faith. That's the first key. The second key is humility. A few weeks ago, Pastor preached about a Syrian man of prestige and power that was in desperate need of a miracle. Naaman was a mighty military captain. He commanded the armies of Syria, but Naaman had a problem. Naaman had a disease that threatened to make him a social outcast. Naaman was a leper, and his leprosy had the potential to steal away his power, his influence, his wealth, and remove him from his friends and from his family. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we read that Naaman reached out to the king of Israel because an Israelite woman told Naaman's wife that there was a man of God in Israel that could help him. And word was sent to Elisha by the king, and Elisha sent back word inviting Naaman to come. But when Naaman arrived, rather than Elisha coming out and laying hands on him or waving his, you know, staff over him or having him drink some kind of herbal potion or something, all things that I'm sure Naaman could have expected. You know, when you're in desperate need of a miracle, you're looking for the ravens to bring the bread. You're looking for something out of this world to happen. And instead, Elisha didn't even come out to meet him. Elisha sent a messenger to tell Naaman to dip, take a bath 7 times in the Jordan River. And the Bible says in verse 11 of that second chapter, or that fifth chapter of 2 Kings, Naaman was wroth, he was angry, and he went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." He thought he was going to lay hands on the leprosy and the leprosy would disappear. Naaman goes on and says, "Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned away in a rage. Naaman was angry that he was not treated like the powerful, influential man that he was. His position in life earned him a greater level of respect than what the prophet Elisha had given him. And because of his pride, Naaman almost missed out on the miracle that God had for him. Life is not always fair. The situations and things that we go through are not always fair. We don't always deserve to go through what we go through. But if we get offended and focus on how we deserve better, I don't deserve this, we can fairly easily miss the miracle that God has for us. Pride will derail us from the promise of God. God's intention was not for Naaman to die a leper. He had a better plan, and Naaman almost missed out because of his pride. Thankfully, one of Naaman's servants talked some sense into him and said, look, if the prophet would have told you to go climb a mountain or go and slay a dragon, you'd have done it. We're already here, so you might as well do what the prophet said and see if it works. And I'm sure that it was so incredibly difficult for Naaman to swallow his pride and go down to the Jordan River. I'm sure it was incredibly difficult to, you know, get in the water and go down and then come up and the first time and still see the leprosy. And the second time. And the third time. And I'm betting by the fourth time he was even more wroth than he was before. I'm sure he grumbled and complained as the silt from the river bottom got stuck in between his toes and made its way into his underbreeches. And I'm sure he was not happy. But he humbled himself and he did what God told him to anyway. And he received the miracle that he was asking for. God healed him. And it was because he had the humility to go and do as he was told. His situation wasn't fair. It wasn't fair for Elisha not to come out and meet him. According to his position in life, he deserved more respect than he was given. And I think sometimes God does that with us. I think sometimes God tests our humility. Maybe you don't deserve to be fired from that job. Maybe you didn't deserve to be left by that boyfriend or girlfriend or husband or wife. Maybe you didn't deserve to be afflicted with some kind of life-threatening illness. Maybe you don't deserve to be treated unfairly by life, but if you dwell on the injustice of it, on how unfair it is, you will miss the boat on your miracle. Jesus didn't deserve to have his beard ripped out, to have nails pounded through his hands and feet, to have his, you know, back whipped with a cat of nine tails, to wear a crown of thorns. He didn't deserve any of that. And if he didn't deserve any of that, and yet he willingly endured it, you and I shouldn't complain. You and I shouldn't be unwilling to suffer injustice in our own lives. Pride will derail us from the promise of God. In order to see the miracle that we so desperately seek and so desperately need, we need to react to situations with humility. Number one, we must react in faith. Number two, we must react with humility. And number three, we must react with persistence. Turn over to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verses 22 through 28. The word says, And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. This lady was desperately needing Jesus to heal her daughter, who was possessed by a demon. And Jesus ignored her, and she chased after him. And the disciples said, Look, send her away. She's drawing attention to us. She's being obnoxious. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet or it is not right to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. The scripture has always been a little bit of a mystery to me. And I must confess, I don't fully understand, because I think there is a tremendous depth of things going on here. But it's so puzzling that Jesus would not just refuse the woman, but that he would insult her in the process. Why would he call her a dog? Why would Jesus, the very definition of kindness and self-sacrifice and love, say something to this woman that seems so out of character for him? I think one of the reasons can be found in a parable that Jesus told in Luke chapter 18. There was once a judge that didn't fear God, and he didn't fear any man. He had no respect for God or men. In the city that he ruled, there was a widow woman who came before him each and every day and asked him to avenge her of her enemy. Now, the story doesn't say exactly who her enemy was or what was going on, what the injustice was. Just that this woman went every single day before this judge and asked him to take up her case. And each day he sent her away. And finally, one day after she had been coming again and again and again, day after day after day, her persistence paid off. And the judge gave in because she was driving him crazy. It's kind of like the kids. Can I have a piece of candy? No, you don't need a piece of candy right now. 10 minutes later, can I have a piece of candy? No. So they send the other one. Go ask mom for a piece of candy. Can we have a piece of candy? No. Finally, at some point, you just give in. Because it's easier to give them the Tootsie Roll than it is to tell them no, 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 all the time. That's what's going on, yes. Dad can't take it. That's busted. Persistence pays off. To lay hold of the promise of God, you must persist. I believe when Jesus refused this woman and called her a dog, he was testing her resolve. The word dog here, I did some studying on this. The word dog here, it's not the Greek word that's typically used when they're talking about dogs. See, there's a Greek word, kuon, that means a filthy, scavenging, wild dog. A mutt, a street dog. They were universally hated by everyone in this time period. They were kind of the modern day equivalent of rats. But the word that Jesus used here was not kuon, wasn't nasty beast. It was kunarion, and it meant a puppy. A little pet. So while Jesus was refusing her, and while Jesus was insulting her, he wasn't really insulting her. And he wasn't really refusing her. This woman could have been offended, could have stormed off in a huff and said, well, I'm no dog, you can't talk to me that way, and left without the miracle that she needed. But she was persistent. She was humble. And she said, she used Jesus' own words against him, if you will. She took what he said and turned it around and used it in her rebuttal, used it to change his mind. She said, I may be a dog. I may be a puppy. I may not be as as high class as the Jews. See, the Jews of the time believed everybody that was a Gentile was lower class than they were. They were not the people of God, and the Jews were the people of God. There's some racism going on there. But she said, even if I am just a dog, even the dogs get to have the leftovers from what the kids don't finish. And reacting in humility, reacting with persistence, she would not take no for an answer. She begged Jesus to heal her daughter, and Jesus ignored her. And she followed after them, begging Jesus to heal her daughter. So much so that the disciples said, "Hey, send her away. She's drawing attention to us. She's making a fuss. She's making a scene. Send her away." She persisted. Jesus said, "It's not right to give to dogs the kids' food." And she said, "Yes, you're right, but even the dogs get to eat the leftovers." She persisted. And because she persisted, she got the miracle that she was seeking. Jesus said, "You have incredible faith. Go in peace. Your daughter's been healed." We've all heard it said before that delays are not defeats. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, that we are to ask, seek, and knock. And the correct way that that should be translated is keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. The Greek tense of those words means to keep on doing those things. Instead of being offended by Jesus' words, this woman turned around and she used them in her rebuttal. She persisted. She refused to give up. And we all have needs in our lives. We all have mountains in our lives that we just can't seem to overcome, that we don't see any way up and over or around or through, and we just need to persist. God will make a way if you don't give up. If she would have been offended by what Jesus said, if she would have given up when the disciples said, "Hey, run this lady off, she's being obnoxious," if she would have given up and taken no for an answer, I don't believe her daughter would have been healed. But because she persisted, she got the miracle that she was seeking. And you find that over and over and over again in Scripture. The woman with the issue of blood, she suffered for 12 years. And she pushed through the crowd and caught the hem of Jesus' garment and was healed. Jacob, wrestling with God, "I won't let go until you bless me." Abraham, holding on to the promise of God, even though the Bible says that he was promised a son, and his body was as good as dead, the Bible says. Nothing worked right anymore. He was too old for things to, too old to have a son, too old for things to work right. And yet, he held on to the promise of God. And he persisted, and he got the miracle that God had promised him. The same is true for you and I. We all have things that at some time, if not now, maybe later, if not now, you've been through it before. We all have needs in our lives. And we need to be humble to receive the promise of God. We need to be persistent to receive the promise of God. We need to have faith and put our faith into action to receive the promise of God. Don't let a lack of faith rob you from what God has for you. Don't let your feelings of what you do or don't deserve keep you from being obedient to God. Naaman didn't deserve to be treated the way that he was treated. And if he would have allowed that to, it would have kept him from following the word of the Lord and receiving what God had for him. And don't let a delay in your life be a defeat. Just because you ain't there yet doesn't mean you're not going to get there. Just because you haven't laid hold of the promise yet doesn't mean that you won't lay hold of it. Be persistent. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Worship team, go ahead and come up and join me. Don't let a delay be a defeat. Have faith, be humble, and stay persistent. Let's all bow our heads this morning. Lord, we're grateful for your word. And God, I know that as I was preparing this message, that there were things that you convicted my heart about. And God, I just ask that you would do the same thing for others here this morning. God, if there's something within this message, Father, that we need to take action on, I pray that you would reveal it to us. God, if there's an area of our lives that we've not been faithful in, God, we've not had faith. If there's an area in our lives, Father, that we've not been humble. If there's an area, Father, where we've thrown in the towel too soon and we've given up, I pray that you would reveal those things to us. Father, as we go through things, I pray that you would help us to have faith and put our faith into action. I pray, God, that you would help us to focus on what you've done for us and the promise that we have in you and not on our situations and how unfair they may seem to us. And God, I pray that as we suffer delays and setbacks, that you would encourage our hearts and strengthen our hearts and God, remind us that delays are not defeats and that we need to keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking. Lord, we thank you for it. Thank you, Jesus. If you are here this morning and this something in this message spoke to your heart, God's dealing with your heart about something that was spoken. As we close in a song, take a few moments and talk to God about it. Take a few moments and talk to God about it. Tell him the area that you're struggling in. Tell him the miracle that you need. Ask him to reveal to you how to have faith. Ask him to forgive you for any kind of pride that you may have had about the situation, any kind of murmuring or complaining that you've done because you didn't deserve it. Ask him to give you the strength to hold on and to remain persistent. Spend just a few minutes praying and talking to him this morning as we stand and close in a song. Thank you, Jesus.